not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you did.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into Atlanta Life Radio Presents, the There Is Life After Layoff radio show, and tonight's episode, Living Out Loud. Join the conversation as our show host, Allie, shares her emotional journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for information and or inspirational purposes only. Now, as we say each and every week, grab your journal and a pen or your mobile device so that you can take notes as tonight's conversation speaks to you. Now join me in a virtual applause as we bring our show host, Allie, on air. Allie?
Thank you, Mel D, and hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me for another episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and it's always a pleasure to be your guide as I take this journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. It has truly been a time of truth and transparency, but most of all, it has been a time of growth in my life. Now, along with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who helped to guide the conversation, our goal is to encourage you to explore new and uplifting ways to discover or rediscover how to walk in your life's purpose. Now, together, we will support one another through this journey. And for this reason, I invite you to join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do that via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please, remember to follow us on social media. You will find me on Twitter at AllieWard45, and you can follow Atlanta Life Radio on Twitter at ALR Radio. I'm also on Instagram at #AllieWard45, and on Pinterest you will find me at AllieWard65. And please remember to also like us on Facebook. You'll find me at There Is Life After Layoff, and ALR can be found on Facebook at Atlanta Life Radio. So on behalf of myself and the entire There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we say thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, as we continue with our efforts to empower and inspire you towards reaching your full potential throughout this new year, you know, my goal has been for this month to bring on guests who will help you to accomplish just that. So with that said, you know, my guest tonight is Melissa Alaba, who is an author, a life coach, and a motivational speaker who empowers individuals to take control of their destiny. Now, before I have the pleasure of welcoming her to the show, I want to first encourage our listeners to please call in and join the conversation. If you want to simply ask our guest a question, you can always do that by calling 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. And we will begin taking your calls just after the break at 7:30. And I have one more brief announcement before we get started with the show. If you happen to miss a particular show that you want to catch up on and you want to catch up on what you've missed, you can just go to Atlanta Life Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. We have that automatic player box for you on the programming page. Just click on the show you want to listen to, and there you have it. We're also on iTunes. For those of you who are always on the go, you could just upload it on your mobile device, search Atlanta Life Radio under podcast, and there you'll find us. And all of our past recorded shows are currently available on iTunes, and tonight's live show will be available within the half hour after it airs this evening. So, again, we say thank you for, number one, tuning into the live show and also for catching up on what you may have missed. So now we're actually ready to get started with our show tonight. I was fortunate enough to meet tonight's guest back in November at a Sisters Do Brunch Lunch event that was hosted by another former guest, Miss Stacey Taylor. And after listening to her speak and feeling her passion in her message, I knew that she was definitely a person that I wanted to invite to be a guest on the show. She is a thought leader, she is a life coach, and a much sought-after speaker, and as well as I mentioned earlier, an author. So, and so much more I can say about her, but I will actually let her tell you a little bit more about herself. So it is without further ado that it is my pleasure to welcome to There Is Life After Layoff, Melissa Alaba. So thank you for joining me this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. What a wonderful way to introduce me. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I kind of set the stage for you. So can you just share a little bit more with our listeners about who you are and help us get to know Melissa?
Absolutely. So I would say my first calling has true is counseling and coaching. And I found my calling really early in life since when I was 18. You know, just would have people randomly walk up to me and tell me different things that have happened to them. I mean, really traumatic things. And I just imagine being 18 and someone walking up to you and telling you they just had an abortion and they just come from the hospital and that the baby was, it was pretty much, it was a baby and it came out in the toilet. And I remember just standing on the street, and every time I tell the story, I absolutely remember because I was standing, like, walking in the street in Chicago, going to catch a bus, and a person just stopped me and started telling me this story.
Really?
And it was nothing I could do. Nothing. I mean, really.
Wow.
This is how God introduced me to my calling.
Wow.
And I stood there, and I was like, okay. And I was like, wow, you know, like, I'm sorry that happened to you because, again, this woman just walked up to me. And then she said, you know, I feel better just telling you. And she walked away. I've never seen her again in my life, you know. And probably within a couple of days of that, if not the same day, because I can't quite remember, but within a couple of days I was on the train and a guy walks up to me, like, while I'm on the train and I'm going downtown, going to class, and says to me, I just lost my job. And I got to go home and tell my wife now. And I was like, okay. You know, I'm like, all right. You know, like, man, I'm sorry that happened to you, you know. And he said, I just feel better just telling you. And he gets off the train. And that is how I found my calling. I was going to school for fashion design. And I was like, okay, God, I think you're trying to tell me something else.
And
that's when I discovered. And that wasn't a time when psychology was popular. That was a time when. You know, so this was in 95, so that was really when people were thinking of psych wards, major issues. That was when God showed me that it's people with regular everyday issues, and I had no idea how I was going to use it, but that needed my help, and I decided to change my major and go into psychology. So with I've done a lot of stuff in my life. You know, I've had my work or my advice published this past year in Ebony, Red Bull, Parents Magazine, and then, of course, online on ebony.com, and I'm a writer for Black and Mirror with Kids and my own book. But I would say the core of my gift and what I really have working to get people to understand this year is we all have a gift that is like our core that everything else springs from. And so all of those things really have sprung from, you know, the gift of counseling and coaching.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that just kind of catapulted it. But that's so random how people just kind of, that is just so funny. You couldn't even make that up.
Right. And I mean, like, what do you do with that? Because, like I said, I have no background, no education, just from, I'm like, okay, you know.
But you know what? That's funny that you say that because I have a goddaughter who just started her first year at Clemson, and she's always been that one friend or one person that all of her friends have come to for advice. And she's very mature for her age, and she's very, very, you know, mature spiritually as well. And, you know, she's always just shared that kind of those kind of stories with us about, you know, her friends and they all come to her. So she wants to be an attorney, but, you know, God may say other based on what you just shared with me.
Right. And you have to really follow in your calling. And that's, you know, again, you know, for 2015, I'm really focusing on helping people understand that, is that a lot of times we see those bright, shiny objects, which is other things that we think we should be doing because that's what everybody else is doing, or that's the thing that is the it thing for right now. But you have to stay true to what your gifting is, because not only is your purpose in your gifting, but also your money is in your gifting. Your life is in your gifting. There's so much in that. And a lot of times we take ourselves out of our blessing by trying to choose something that wasn't designed for us.
That's very good right there. Somebody needed to hear that.
Yeah.
Real.
Thank you.
My story and how I have come to be here with There Is Life After Layoff was as a result of my being laid off. And, you know, so that, you know, that was my experience. And that's how I discovered that God had given me wanted me to use my gift to write, to help others who've been affected by, you know, a layoff and other life-altering events. So can you share with us, have you ever had a life-altering or traumatic event happen to you that, you know, you had to push through? And how did you overcome that?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what my book is about, Live Out Loud. It's the things that I did. So it's 52 ways to reawaken your spirit and live a life of purpose. But it's the things that I did to get over that challenge. So in 2008, I had a car accident, which was a really traumatic accident. I had a back injury, left me in a lot of pain. It caused me to have to close down my business, which was very successful. I had to let, you know, 17 employees go contractors. I mean, like, it was devastating to me because this was my baby. It was something I had built, you know, over some years. And the fact that I had people dependent on me. And, you know, for those out there who've been an employee or who are employers, it's really heartbreaking to have to tell somebody they no longer have a job because you're sick.
Right.
And you can't function. Therefore, my business couldn't function. And I went through a really deep depression over that. So not only now did I lose my business, my health is down. You know, of course, my finances, because I had to close my business. I mean, I'm like, God, what is going on? Like, I did everything you asked me to do. You know, I followed the calling, like I talked about. I changed. I didn't try to stay in my way. You know, so like, why me? And I really realized that God gave me that period of time to be able to meditate, to be able to rediscover Him, and to see life in a different way. So yeah, that would be my situation that was totally life changing.
Wow, that's interesting, because I felt like when I experienced the layoff, it was traumatic for me. I had been there for, you know, over 13 years. I never saw it coming. You know, completely blindsided. And but in the midst of that, I was so at peace, and I believe that my response to the layoff made all the difference in my being able to hear God speak to me a couple of days later and say, you need to be doing this.
Wow.
And, you know, sometimes He will have you hit maybe rock bottom, so to speak, or kind of shake things up a little bit just to get you out of what you think is your comfort zone, when really it's the zone that He doesn't want you in.
Yes.
You know, so that's interesting. So how did you, I think I read a little bit about the fact that you actually used alternative or homeopathic healing. And now, I'm a big proponent of that. I myself, you know, have been a big athletic person and sports person for the majority of my life, and I prefer homeopathic versus, you know, over-the-counter or modern medicine or traditional medicine, if you will. So how big a role did that play, those type of methods play, in you actually being able to get healed from your back injury?
Oh, it was huge. So that was during the time that I discovered meditation. So at this point, I knew of mindfulness. I mean, I have a certificate in stress management. And so I had done yoga before and things like that. But when I was in so much pain and they were giving me all these medications and basically narcotics to try to
pretty much.
The pain. But now I'm like, right, exactly, knocked out because I'm taking some, the drugs were so heavy I couldn't do anything else. I said, what, there has to be another way. So I'm at this bookstore and I find this book. And as I'm reading the book, it basically was by John Sartos, Sarnos. And basically what the book said was that, you know, your body has cellular memory and that the cells cannot remember the trauma of that accident and other things that happened in your life that led up to this day. And that you can change it by meditating. So I was like, okay, well, if nothing else is working, so, you know what?
I might as well.
And it's free. So, you know, no doctor charged me $900 a visit, you know. So, but he said it's going to be painful. But as you walk, talk to your body, because he said you had to retrain yourself and tell your body that pain no longer exists anymore. So I start walking every day, and I mean, excruciating pain, but I'm telling myself, you are not in pain. This pain does not exist anymore. And we release that. And I will even add in the name of Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, that spiritual component, like I'm healed. And within 3 months, I was completely healed, by the way.
Are you kidding?
Yes, of all medications. I took myself off the medications. I've never experienced pain like that again since that time. So it was just a really, that transformed how I do counseling. That transformed a lot of my interventions because I really truly understood at that point how powerful your mind is.
Yes.
In holding us back. And how memory will allow you, you think about people who've gone through divorces and things like that, and you meet some people who successfully get through that. They're happy. They've moved on. They take that experience and learn those lessons. Then you meet some people who are stuck in bitterness and anger because they keep reliving what happened to them 10 years ago. And that's what that pain was. And meditation helped me to free that because we don't have to live that way.
Wow, that's good. And, you know, my former co-host on this show, Dr. Regina Ward, she just recently published a book called The Awakening, where she talks about a lot of how these medicines and narcotics that the doctors are trying to give us are really them pretty much practicing on us. And she said that was an awakening for her because she was in a doctor's office waiting to be seen for a situation, and she looked up at the at their certificate and saw practicing medicine. And she said, that's exactly what they're doing. They're practicing on us.
And that's the reason why they call it a medical practice.
Was an awakening for her, too.
Because we're going to see if this works or not. And then we keep trying. And, you know, again, they can't make you any promises, so you have to take control of your own health.
But what they're doing is they're treating the symptoms, not the root cause.
Yes, always. And they never, no one ever asks you how anything starts.
Right.
You can go today and you have a pain in your stomach and they continue to ask you about the symptoms. So what, you know, describe the pain. Is it a 6 or a 7? And then the next thing we know we go to is what can I give you to alleviate the pain? But if you go to a holistic practitioner, they're going to ask you questions of when did it start?
Right.
What all is happening in your life? Because that's what holistic means. And I say that because a lot of times people don't understand what that means. It means we look at your whole life. It also means we understand that stomach pain can be related to things that are happening in your life. It can be related to stressors. Maybe you're in a work situation and it's not working for you. And you're stressed out because you have a boss that has your own deadlines and you have no family life. Or, you know, it could be a whole bunch of different things. And so we look at the medical, you know, your medical history. We look at your work history. We look at what your diet, what you're eating. We look at your exercise. Are you exercising? And we examine your relationships. Are you in healthy relationships?
Wow, that's good right there. Do you feel that that situation with your back with the car accident and how, you know, things just kind of came to a screeching halt in your business and everything that you knew as being normal at the time, do you feel as though God was changing the trajectory of your life through that experience and
Absolutely.
As a way of guiding you toward where you are now?
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, anybody who's listening, when you're going through, you do not feel like God is with you. And that's,
oh, that's
just
a
honestly,
good statement right there.
Yeah,
you got that right.
You do not feel like God is helping you. You do not feel like it's a greater plan for this. People would tell you that, and you'd be like, really? Because I'm trying to see it.
That's too funny.
Yeah, especially when, because most times when things like that happen, they are like, they are a rude awakening.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
yeah.
you said, they don't happen where, you know, gradually, although they've gradually been happening, but and again, I should say, they can happen gradually, but
mm-hmm.
we've been asleep for so long, we don't notice the little nudges.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That gets
yeah.
us to that point. Because
yeah.
God is always guiding us. We don't notice
oh, yeah.
the little nudges. Like, I can tell you for a long time, although I had a very successful practice, I had these employees, I would get in a parking lot some days and say, oh, my God, I wish I was doing something else. I want to quit, but
I
can't.
Really?
Because, yes, because I have this responsibility, and I had a lot of stress over it. So there were a lot of nudges, but I didn't know how to change it, or I didn't want to take the time to try to change it because I was going with the status quo. So, yeah.
Wow.
It
so you
did
know what?
Change
and that,
everything.
It made me think just now when you just said that about how a lot of times women who are in these relationships that they had no business being in, and God sends you all these red flags, you
yes.
know something is wrong, but
right.
you choose to ignore it. Because for the sake of whatever, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, or you don't want to be alone, your biological clock is ticking. You know all the excuses that we make.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that because I'm, like, totally jumping. but I got to tell you, like, you know, I want to make sure that your listeners really understand 2015 is a year of clarity and it's a year of getting everything that you really deserve and you want. But one of the major things in getting what you want out of life and making your visions come true and whatever it is, taking the next step and movement in your life, is you got to get the poop out of your soup.
Oh, that's funny.
And that, yeah, that's what you were just talking about. And so a lot
yes.
of us, we have these big chunks of poop that's in our soup, bad marriages, poor relationships with our kids, a work life that's not good, but we just push it aside and we're going to live around it.
Wow.
And we're
going
to make it okay. And then, of course, what does poop in the soup? Think about it. You got hot soup and you got
stops
it
starts up.
To, yes,
starts
start
to
breaking
stink.
Up and getting everything else, right? Because you
starts
can't do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, that is so good right there. I mean, and it's a lot of it is because we really don't know what God has for us, or we block
yes.
him from giving us what we want, or what he wants
yes.
us to have, actually. We
yes.
limit him.
Yes,
you know?
And we're scared.
Yeah.
And so that's another
fear.
Thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Fear. Fear holds us back, because what does fear say? Fear says, you know this poop that you have. You recognize it. Honestly, you recognize this bad relationship.
Look like a duck, act like a duck is
yes.
a duck.
Yes. You know, this man that you with, he doesn't treat you well, but he doesn't hit you. You know what I mean? And so
wow.
you recognize that. And so you're scared to try someone else or to get out of that because you're like, I don't know what the next person will do. So, but I know this. I know his crazy, so I'll stick with this.
That's good right there. I'll stick with the crazy I have rather than get a new crazy.
Right, because I don't know what that is. And
right.
But we miss so many blessings
oh,
because of that because
yes,
God
do.
Doesn't want us to live in fear. He wants
mm-hmm.
us to have the best. But
yes.
he can't allow – the best is not going to happen to you. That's what I tell people when they're talking about relationships or anything. You know, I want my dream job or my dream man.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get either if you still live in with the person who's not a part of that dream. If
right.
you refuse to let something go, tell me how he's going to introduce something new because you didn't take a step of faith. And all
yes.
throughout the Bible says you have to have faith.
Got to have faith, the size of a mustard seed.
That's it.
That's
and
all it
how
takes.
Do you exhibit faith? You exhibit faith by saying no to stuff that is not of God and is not of purpose and is not for you.
Exactly.
And that's a small step. I mean, that's not huge. That's not you going out and saying, hey, I'm ready for a new relationship now and going to a club and getting online or anything. The first step is just saying no to what you don't want.
Right.
You
exactly.
can do that. He can introduce somebody good to you.
Exactly. And you know what? It's so funny because we're believing God that we want this, that, and the other, but then we won't allow him to do that because we're like you said, we're keeping that stuff.
Yes.
And God's never going to give you anything that doesn't belong to you. You know,
yes.
People are praying for, oh, I want this and I want. But if it's not supposed to be for you, he's not going to give it to you.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm thankful that God doesn't answer all my prayers because some of that stuff that I ask for might not be good for me.
Yes. And sometimes we see it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've met people who turned someone down or said, hey, that guy wasn't for me. And years later, it's like, oh, my God, he's never been able to keep a marriage. He's never kept a job. You know, he has, like, 10 kids now. You know,
right,
it's like,
right,
oh, my God,
right.
I'm so glad I didn't get mixed up in that. But at the time, I thought
the bullet then, huh?
Yes. I thought he was really wonderful, and I was praying for him, you know. And so,
oh, God,
yeah, you just funny. Have to be really mindful that God has the full plan.
Yes.
We don't. And
yes.
Allow him to do his work.
Absolutely. How important is it then in all that we've just said for a person to walk in their life's purpose? And what advice would you give to somebody who's struggling just to find that?
Yeah, and, you know, I hear this all the time. I actually did a vision board party this past Sunday.
Okay.
And that was the same thing. You know, I hear this all the time with people saying, I don't know my purpose or my passion. But when I ask them to tell me what it is that they love or what it is they would gladly do for free, they can tell me. You know, and they're like, I would love to do this. And this is what they always say. Ultimately, a person would say this. Like for this weekend, for example, a woman was like, I love animals. And then she starts talking about all these animals. I mean, literally, she talked about animals for like the next 30 minutes. So I'm like, well, why aren't you a veterinarian? She said, I've been trying to figure out how to make money from it. This is the thing that keeps people from doing their purpose.
Wow.
And I heard Pastor TDJs talk about this. See, God shows us, he gives us the tools.
Your
tool. And he'll introduce people who will allow you to be able to work your gift.
Mm-hmm.
The money piece does not always come at the same time. Like I said, when I decided I was going to be a counselor, and this life coach or what have you, that was in 1995. Nobody ever heard of a life coach. Nobody really heard of counseling in the way in which I do it now.
Right.
So money was not the motivator there. As a matter of fact, people that I told was like, girl, you ain't gonna make no money from that. And I was like, okay, well, but this is what I'm supposed to do. And I just stuck to that. And lo and behold, the money came. So that is the thing, is that a lot of times people try to figure out the money first. And they don't take action. You need to take action on whatever bit he gives you first. Mother Teresa said this, before she passed, and this was in her writings. She said she had a period of time of about 10 years, and this got me through my tough period, as a matter of fact, where she did not hear from God. Because when I was going through my tough period, I couldn't hear from God. I didn't know what was happening. I was trying my best. I was praying. I was speaking in tongues. But I usually couldn't hear from God, and I could not hear an instruction from God. And I was like, what is going on? But when I read that she had that period of 10 years where she couldn't hear from him, she wanted to, but she couldn't. She said what she realized during that time is whatever the last instruction was, just follow that.
Mm-hmm. Right. There you go. He had already given you the instruction. And
exactly.
You were waiting
we
on him to say something
him.
Else.
Yes. We want to change the instructions based on the situation. And it doesn't work that way. And guess what? The instruction that God gave me before I had my accident when I couldn't hear from him, he told me that I would always have more than enough clients. That I would have clients coming from the East and the West. Like, I heard that. Like, I got that instruction in 2002. When I was going through my period, what I wanted to do was change my career.
Mm-hmm,
I didn't want to be a counselor no more because I had done so much with that, and I had the accident, so I decided I'm going to do something totally different.
Right.
And I wanted God to bless that. I was like, okay, God, now this is what I'm going to do, so show me how to do this and this.
God was like, nope.
No. You can go ahead and try it if you want to, but, you know, and of course, I had no success with it whatsoever, and I did that for 2 years. I tried to do something else.
Oh, my goodness. That is too funny. God was like, okay, you know, that reminds me of, you know, want to make God laugh, make your own plans, you know?
Yes. Yep.
That is too funny. Right about now, I think I'm just going to wind down. We're going to pause and take a short station break, and then when we come back, I want to really dig in and talk about your book, Live Out Loud, okay?
So we're going to take a short station break, and I remind our callers that if you want to call in and join the conversation or ask our guest a question, you can reach us at 347-324-5246. Make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. I'm Allie, your host, and I'm joined by my special guest, thought leader, life coach, and author, Melissa Alaba. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio, so please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain,
take this time to thank all of our faithful listeners and also to thank our new listeners as we open the year 2015. If you are listening for the first time, we ask that you like us on Facebook and please tell a friend and ask them to tune in every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. We also want to take this time to thank all of our sponsors, and tonight's sponsor, Gerontological Marketing Concepts. If you are interested in learning how you can be a sponsor or even possibly a guest appearance on the show, please contact us by calling us at 678-856-7603. And please leave your full name and contact information, and we will get right back with you. And now we return back to our program. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mel D. We're back, and if you're just joining us, welcome. And you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. So tonight we've been talking with our special guest, author, life coach, and thought leader, Melissa Alaba. And just before the break, I alluded to the fact that I wanted her to talk about her book that is titled Live Out Loud, 52 Ways to Reawaken Your Spirit and Live a Life of Purpose. Wow, that's powerful. What does it mean, Melissa, to live out loud?
It just means that you are living your best life. And what that means is you're doing whatever it takes and necessary to live out your purpose. And so I think of it as like a dancer. When dancers practice, they're, you know, told to just, you know, practice in a way that's not full out. But when they go on stage and perform, they do a full out performance. That means they give their all, and the audience can feel it and everything. And the reason why they don't do full out during practice is because you can injure yourself.
Right.
And they always talked about Michael Jackson, because Michael Jackson, when he practiced, even like before his concerts, he would always do full out with his singing.
Wow.
I mean, because he was the best. And so
live
out loud means living your life at that the highest level that you possibly can, doing things at the best, you know. And it's just a wonderful way of living. I'm telling you, it changes your life.
Wow. So what inspired you to write that book? Was it? I think you said that it was based on your injury.
Yes. So after, you know, while I was going through the injury, like I said, I went through depression, and I had to pull myself out of it. So I had to, you know, had gone through the pain, the depression. And what I realized during that time is that the things that I was going through, other people was going through it too. Mm-hmm. And so that was my next instruction, was to write this book. And literally God didn't let me do anything else until this book was done. I kept wanting to do other projects, and it was like I would come back to this book. So it took me 2 years to write the book because every exercise in it, I did it. And I wanted to write about it from this authentic place so that people can get the message. And what's been amazing to me is that from celebrities to everyday people, I have had so many people have this book, gravitate to this book, and write me and tell me they read this book, which is amazing to me. People I did not send it to, but some kind of way got it through someone else or whatever. So it's been pretty amazing, just the lives that it's touched. And it was just my personal journey. And, of course, I use my counseling techniques to write about it and things like that, because they're exercises. They're things that you can do, and it's a journaling page after each chapter. so that you can write about it.
Wow. Oh, that's interesting. So what is the most important message or takeaway from Live Out Loud that you want our readers to gain from reading your book?
I would say the most important message is that no matter what has happened to you, no matter what you've gone through, those experiences can be used to make your life better. Every experience is a teacher, and that we have an opportunity every single day to grow and to live our best life. Like, it doesn't end at 22, doesn't end at 35, it doesn't end at 50, it doesn't end at 70. You have an opportunity to improve in any and every area of your life at any given time.
You're right. And you know what, for me personally speaking, I've found, and it's taken me a long time to realize this, but during those times of tests and trials, that's when I really have grown the most.
Yes, because that's what trials do.
Mm-hmm.
They stretch you, they strengthen you, and they develop you. So without those times, you don't develop into the person that you're supposed to be. I even think of myself as a counselor, right? So I had this flawless, and when I say flawless, I mean, like, I literally went from college to a upper management position to leaving that position to starting two companies, a real estate company that was over $1 million in real estate, to starting this therapy practice that we grossed over $1 million in 3 years, to, you know what I mean, like, to never having anything. And when I'm telling you, when I look at other people, I'm like, y'all just don't work hard enough. People who ain't. Because people are like, oh, my God, you made this seem so easy. Well, it was my calling, so God made it that easy for me. And when you're, it's your calling, not that I didn't work, because I get up way early for other people who went to bed, but it didn't feel like work. Because when it's your calling, it doesn't feel like toil.
Right,
but
exactly.
I say all that to say the experience that I went through in 2008, 2009, 2010, and literally it was that many years to get back to where I was, which was like 3.5 years, really. Those were the years where God grew me up the most.
Yeah.
Because that's when I was able to understand what it's like to be in pain when I'm dealing with people. So God, one of the things that I always asked God for was wisdom.
Yeah.
He was giving me wisdom through my trials. I asked him for strength. He was making me strong through my trial. That's not something that I could have gotten in those good years.
Oh,
I wish
no.
I could have.
Right.
I wish I could have. But
you
I
know
could've.
What? That makes me think of an old gospel song. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called Be Grateful.
Yes,
because,
I have.
I love that song. I love that song because it makes you think about, the song says that, you know, if you didn't have the bad times, then you wouldn't recognize the good times.
You wouldn't, absolutely.
You know, so that's good right there. What were some of your challenges, though, that you faced in writing the book? I know you said it took you a couple of years. Was it just that you were going through, or that you just didn't want to hear from God, or that was what
actually, the book really wrote itself, because it really was an inspired work. The biggest challenge of the book was I did everything, every activity. And then the other thing was, when I wrote the book, when I started writing this book, my youngest child was, I want to say she was 3 months old. She was an infant. So just imagine, you know, I'm a mom, I have a part-time practice at this point, and I got a little baby.
Oh,
needy.
God. Oh, my goodness.
And God is like, write this book. So I'm writing a book on weekends, you know what I mean? And then I would put it down for some time, and so it wasn't like it was hard, but it was my first time. You know, anytime it's something, your first time birthing it, it takes longer. You don't know what to do. Remember that first baby?
Yes.
You know, versus the second, the third. You know, like you kind of know. That's what that was. And I'm glad, though, that it did take the amount of time that it did take. I'm glad that I didn't rush it, and I'm glad that I allowed the process.
Right. So what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started your writing career?
One, I didn't know it was going to be a career. So this is the thing. That's why I said, like, when you're following what God tells you versus what yourself, if somebody would have told me 3 years ago that I would have been publishing these magazines and, discovered my name. I was reading an article in Ebony the other day, and I was throughout all these magazines, decided to keep this May 2014 issue. because it had Cicely Tyson in the back. And as I'm reading one of the tests, it says, says Melissa Alba, life coach. They never even told me I was in this one. And I was like,
oh,
wow.
Really?
Did they use my advice? If somebody had told me that, I would have laughed. I would have been like, what? Because that wasn't even something that I was thinking about. But I always wrote, and I started this blog where I was just, but I never thought to take my blogging to another level of getting paid or anything
right.
like that.
Right.
God, when you do what he tells you to do on whatever level, he will bless your effort and allow the right people, the right everything to come into your path that you don't even think about, you know?
Yes.
And so I just, you know, again, it was not something that I started out saying it's going to be a career, but now it definitely is a career path because I get paid to write now. What?
Wow, I know, right? Exactly. It is so funny because he has opened up some doors and some opportunities for me and allowed me to meet some great people that I really would not have imagined way back in 2012 and before when, you know, I was working full time, that I if you had asked me back then that I and told me that I would be doing what I'm doing now, I would have said, nah, you're kidding. Because, see,
right.
me, I was the biggest blocking of my own blessing because I would always say, you know, oh, that's not in my comfort zone. And I had to stop saying that because,
right.
like you said earlier, when God wants you or asks you to do something, he'll give you what you need. He'll give you the tools and the resources to do it.
Yes. Yep.
You know?
He certainly will. He will provide for your gift. And that's what I tell people. He'll provide that room and space for your gift to blossom as long as you take action and you do it. So many people, like I said, you know, when they ask that purpose question, the reason why they're not living on purpose or able to live out, like, in their career or the way they want to, is they're afraid to take the first step.
Mm.
And God, that's the faith. You got to take the first step, and he'll add to it.
Yeah.
But if you take no steps, he can't help you. You know,
right.
so he's done all he's going to do. Now you got to do your part.
Exactly, exactly. So I heard you mention earlier, you know, I'm a wife and mother of two young children myself. And so, you know, one of the challenges that I oftentimes face is, you know, finding that time to write. So can you share with us, what are your top three tips for balancing work, children, marriage, and writing?
Ooh, I would say one, it's funny because, like I said, you'll have training that you don't even know is training. I did not realize this, but you know, it was actually my husband who told me when I started getting paid to write, he said, well, you should. You've been writing all your life. And I was like, I guess so. Again, never realizing that. I've kept a journal since I was 14 years old.
Mm.
So I have over 20-something journals, and I write every night. So
wow.
that training was already a part of me that I never even thought about as training, right? So
wow.
So with that said, I always write before I go to bed. I
mm-hmm.
always take notes throughout the day. I take notes on my phone. And when an article comes to me, because most of it is really like God-inspired, like I'll be somewhere, somebody is saying something, I'm like, oh, my God, that's a great article. Or that
mm-hmm,
goes with my
mm-hmm.
next book. And I'll just stop what I'm doing to write it, you know, and
right.
then I'll come back to another time. And then for those times when I'm working to pull a big project together, you know, I've worked helped other people pull their books together, write different things, then I just pull, you know, do that on a Saturday, and I have a chunk of hours, you know, that I'm working on it. But for the most part, I pull all my bits together and make my book, whereas other people have, like, days they sit down. I'm like, no, I can be somewhere, and God give me an idea. I just start writing, and I'm like, okay, oh, that's going to go in that section. That's going to go. You know, just like, yeah, it just comes to me like that.
Right. I've started doing that myself, and I have these composition books that I keep, and,
mm-hmm.
and the idea will come to me. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea for a blog post, you know, and because if you don't write it down, you will forget it.
You will. You will. Yes, you will.
Oh, believe me, and I had to catch myself on at times saying, oh, I'm going to remember that, and then a few minutes later, I'm like, what was that that I thought about?
Yes.
I'm like, dummy, you didn't write it down.
Mm-hmm. You got to write it down, that's for sure.
So what advice would you give to those of our listeners or anybody out there who may aspire to, you know, start a writing career?
I definitely would say the first thing you want to do is to start a blog.
Okay.
Because as a career, any place that you write for, whether it's a magazine or online publications, and there are lots of places, mm-hmm. businesses that may want you to write copy for them or what have you, they're going to want to refer back to something that you've recently written.
Right.
Most magazines, okay. when you submit to them, they're going to ask you for three articles, like three recent articles or three, like, you know, pitches that you've sent out because they want to see your writing style.
Right.
So, again, what is that? Using your gift. Remember what I said? Mm-hmm. Like, you just mm-hmm. need to just be doing it. So I had
yeah.
I had a friend. It was very interesting because, you know, she had mentioned she wanted to write. Then when I started writing, you know, she was kind of, you know, I don't know, just excited for me, we'll say, that my writing took off. So she asked me that very same question, well, how do I start my career? And I said the very same thing. You know, write your blog, you know, write this, you know, have your articles. And she was, and then she asked, but, so she later told me she was offended because she wanted to know how I got in Ebony. How did I get in at Redbook? And she said, I didn't tell her. And I can tell you now, I knew nobody at those places.
Oh, God.
I still really? Don't know anybody
wow.
at Parents Magazine or the places. I met them after I pitched them. I literally would ask God, like when I wanted to do a pitch, you know, is this a day, you know, I pray in the morning and I could feel from God, pitch this story or pitch
okay.
this idea. And I would just send it off. I didn't know anybody. I have no connections there. The only connection I have is God. And I would say that to myself. I say that to myself every day. I'm connected to the most highest power.
There you go.
And because
that's
I'm connected to the most highest, it, that's it. I just do the work. So you just do the work and you allow him to do the rest.
That's right. He's divine.
So, yeah.
He's
That's
divine.
It.
You got to stay connected to the vine. If you could disconnect any flower, pull it off the vine,
yes.
what does it do? It withers and dies.
Exactly, exactly.
So stay connected to that vine. So do you actually offer, a part of your services, coaching, do you offer workshops for people who may want to start a writing career?
I don't do workshops at this time, but I do individual coaching. So if someone
okay,
who wanted
gotcha.
To get with me individually and either work on their book or want to think about the layout for their blog, because I think when you're writing, one of the things that I learned was early on I did a lot of pitching, and a lot of it wasn't getting noticed. And so
okay.
I had to ask myself, why did I send out 42 pitches and only got one good response? And I prayed on it. I asked God, and God said, because you're showing up as an expert, you know, Melissa the expert, the counselor. And he told me, show up as yourself.
Wow.
And,
oh,
and
that's
literally,
good.
Yes. And that changed. That was a game changer. I mean, literally, I was starting to get frustrated with it because I had been in Ebony, but nothing else had come through. And this was, I'm telling you, this was 6 months ago. So I'm going to give you a real life story. This was 6 months ago.
Okay.
And I'm saying to myself, okay, why isn't anything else happening, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this conversation. I go back and I look at all the pitches I sent out that year, and I had up until that point I had sent out like 42,
wow.
And only had that one, you know, good thing happen. And when I prayed on it and I meditated, that's why meditation is so important, to be in touch with your spirit, because God will answer you.
Right.
He said, send it as yourself. Within 3 months, well, actually
mm-hmm.
within 2 weeks, I was in six major magazines. So within
You're
2 weeks.
You're kidding.
Yes, back-to-back, ABC.com, U.S. News and World Report, Parents Magazine, and then the next month, Redbook, and then I think Ebony again, or, you know, and then,
wow.
and then I, and within that next month, I got the permanent, like, contractor, I guess you call me contributor, for Black and Married with Kids, where I write
wow.
an article with them twice a month. But that happened within, like, after I asked the question.
Mm-hmm,
because, again,
mm-hmm.
I was pitching as an expert, and he said, pitch as yourself. Write to
wow.
yourself like you wrote your book, because that's what people want to hear. I was like, okay,
exactly.
I can do that.
you're absolutely right. Oh, my goodness. That's good advice right there. Show up
Thank
as yourself.
You.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what
yep.
other types of services do you offer through your company?
Well, right now, the main focus really is the coaching and
mm-hmm.
the counseling. You
okay.
know, and I had stepped away from counseling, you know, for about 6 months because, again, I was trying to do it, all, you know, going back to my old ways, right? I was like, writing is really working, and, you know. But one
right.
of the things that I really, truly, you know, realized during that 6 months, and it wasn't a hard 6 months, but it was God showing me that the counseling is my main calling,
mm-hmm.
and everything else comes from that. So don't dump this. And that's where I help the most people, and my writing comes from that. And so now I am back counseling and providing the coaching.
Okay.
And those are like my main things, because once I realized that, you know, people really are encouraged when they work with me, but it's something that I'm giving them that I'm supposed to. So I love it.
Wow. And, you know, I wanted to take a moment to really talk about the Women Entrepreneurs Rock Conference, because that's actually when I met you the day before. And so
yes,
it's a conference that you co-founded. So I wanted you to talk a little bit about that and tell us what the inspiration behind that was.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much for asking about it. But Women's Rock, Entrepreneurs Rock is a conference that Edeline Dryden and myself co-founded. And it's all about helping women aspire bigger and better in their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I consider it the conference where you get your tool blocks and your toolkit built, you know, so anything that you need in regards to meeting someone who does great graphics or website design or bloggers or whatever, or the finances of a business, or just that camaraderie of meeting other people who are in
mm-hmm.
business like
okay.
you, and making those connections, or just
right.
taking your business to the next level, whatever you can think of. We have people there that make incredible networks throughout the year. So that is
okay.
our baby, and it's homed in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We are traveling with it this summer, and we're doing a tour called the Guilty Pleasures Tour, because
wow, okay.
we believe that having a business should not be a guilty pleasure, and living your life shouldn't be a guilty pleasure. And a lot of women that we've met who are mothers, who, you know, are taking care of their parents or whatever, feel guilty when they take time
mm-hmm.
to actually live their dream and live
yeah.
out loud. So
it's
we want to get to tell women, yeah, you can do it.
Exactly. And you know what? It's especially as a wife and mother, sometimes women just even feel guilty if they do something for themselves, as, you know, take a nap or, you know, go somewhere that they enjoy. And I've struggled with that over the years, you know, especially when, you know, I had my first child, you know, you want to do everything perfect, you know. And now, you know, not so much with the second child, you're just kind of like, okay, he'll survive. Poor thing.
Right. Yep, exactly.
Wow. So are you working on any current projects, any new books that we can look forward to?
Absolutely. So my next book is called You the Rockstar.
Hmm.
And it's basically 7 secrets to living your life like a rock star. So
all right.
I'm super, super excited about this book, because the first book was about you finding your calling and your purpose. That's what
okay.
it is. It's like 52 weeks to get you to whatever your calling, your purpose is,
right.
and rediscovering yourself. But this book is, now that you know what that is, now you need to rock it out and take it to the next level, right?
There you go. Walk it out.
I'm super excited because in this particular book, I have, in the back, I've interviewed just some major, major people. When you're reading them, like, oh, my God, you know, that opened up about their success and
mm-hmm.
how they got to where they were. So I'm
okay.
really excited about it. I'm really excited because I know it's going to help people really, you know, live out loud and walk out their life.
All right. You know what? I'm looking forward to that myself. How can we purchase a copy of your book or any of your CDs or any of your other products that you offer?
Awesome. You can get them at my website at www.melissaalaba. That's MelissaAlaB as in boy, .com. You
mm-hmm.
can also find them on Amazon.com.
Okay. So everybody, you need to go check that out on her website. And are you on social media so that our listeners can connect with you on social media?
Yes, please connect with me on Twitter. That's my second home. I've been out for a little bit, but I'll be back to all my Twitter peeps. But, yeah, Melissa Alaba on Twitter, Melissa Alaba at Pinterest, and Melissa Alaba on Facebook.
Okay.
So, yeah, you just put my name in. Thank God there's only one of me, only one Melissa Alaba. And you can find me.
Absolutely. But so final words of wisdom or takeaways that you want to share with our listeners for this evening?
I think it's hard for me to come up with one final word, but I'm going to try.
as
you can
right.
see, right?
There's so much.
Yes, my grandmother, who just recently passed away, would call me the radio growing up, and I never knew what that means, and it's now so amazing to me because that is certainly taking on a life of itself. But she said I could go nonstop without taking a break, so she called me the radio.
Sounds like my son.
Yes. But I would say is that it's not too late. It's not too late. Whatever it is that you desire, that God placed that in your heart, you can start living your purpose now. And, you know, I was recently quoted as saying that you can live your dream. You can start off on a part-time basis. It's okay. Mm-hmm. So like I did, I was writing for years in my journal because that felt good to me. And now I'm writing for other people. Mm-hmm. Start where you're at right now, but start.
Right, just start.
Just start.
That's some, it's simple, people. You're listening to that, but it's profound when you really put some thought to that. It's really says a lot in those two words. Just do it or just start.
Yep, that's it.
Well, you know what? I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight, Melissa, and thank you for being such an inspiration for all of us. And you know, as you inspire us to reclaim and discover our visions and the purpose for our lives. So thank you so much for being on the show with us tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been wonderful to share with your audience. And, you know, I just pray that everybody gets something out of it. But I really, really am super excited and thankful for you allowing me to be with you tonight. So thank you.
Absolutely. And when you get your next book published, we'll have you back on to talk about that. How about that?
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, and as always, we want to take some time to kind of relate our show to Scripture and share final thoughts. And since we've been talking about finding our destiny or our walking in our purpose, I want to relate tonight's Scripture to something that's related to that. So I went to 2 Timothy 4:7, verses 7 and 8, and this is where Paul states, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and finally there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteousness judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So what Paul was basically saying here was that at the end of his life, he had finished the race, and that he had finished fulfilling the destiny that God had laid before him. So I want to ask you, how many of us realize that we all have a destiny to fulfill? And, you know, how many of us really care about that? For some, maybe there was some time when you cared, but then due to life circumstances, you may have allowed yourself to get thrown off course. So you know what? It's time for you to get back on track and to understand that when God saved us from sin, he saved us with a purpose, okay? If you're not fulfilling what you know is your destiny or purpose, then I challenge you to ask yourself, what's holding me back? If it's fear, rejection, or maybe you simply don't know what your purpose is, then right now it's time to do some soul searching. So the start of a new year is a good place to start, and just like our guest just said, just start, okay? So once again, I want to thank our special guest, Melissa Alaba, life coach, thought leader, and author. It's been such a pleasure having her here with us tonight, empowering us towards fulfilling our destiny. And on behalf of There Is Life After Layoff Radio, I say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey, and I don't take it for granted that you've chosen to spend this time with us. And so when we return next week, we will have another powerful, inspiring episode, and my special guest will be certified fitness trainer Amanda Marash. She's going to talk to us about living a healthy and balanced life. So until next time, on behalf of Mel D and myself and the entire There's Life After Layoff Radio team, we say thank you for joining us, and we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final.
Yeah.